Today's episode of Point Breakaway is brought to you by Robinhood. With Robinhood, you can invest in stocks, options, and ETFs right from your phone. You can even spend and earn interest on uninvested cash. And with fractional shares, you can buy stocks in any amount, including companies like Apple, Amazon, and Tesla, for as little as $1. And that's with no commission fees or account minimums. So whether you're new to investing and ready to learn, or just looking for a better experience, stop waiting and join the 10 million Robinhood users. Listeners can get started with a free stock by going to Robinhood.com. All investments involve risk. This is not an investment advice, a recommendation, or a solicitation of any security. Other fees may apply. Visit rbnhd.co/fees. The free stock program is subject to certain limitations. Annual percentage yield on uninvested cash is paid by program banks and is variable. Robinhood Financial is not a bank. Hello everyone, and welcome to Point Breakaway, the podcast about the Ducks, Kings, and anything else that comes to mind. Happy New Year! It's our first podcast of 2020. I am Josh Cooper, and I am joined by the one, the only, Shane O'Brien. Shane, how was your holiday season, man? Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, Coop. It was unbelievable, buddy. Obviously, Christmas time at home, my family, my little nephew Porter was... I'll tell you what, he's a little meat stick. He has a lot of energy, and it was a lot of fun. And then New Year's in Tahoe with you know, a lot of my close friends. My buddy Vinny Smith gave us his unbelievable, insane pad. We skied for 5 or 6 days and brought in the New Year the right way. So I'm fresh and ready to go for the second half here. So let's kill this, Coop.
So I just have a question about Tahoe. How awesome is Tahoe? Because I've never been, and I've heard it's just the most amazing place.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and we were very blessed. A good friend of mine, a Big Canyon, Vinny Smith, is a great guy. And he has maybe arguably one of the best house in South Lake Tahoe, and we skied heavenly. And if you're a single guy, it's maybe not the best place in the world. There's not that much action going on, but we went to a cool festival called Snow Globe. Where Fisher DJ and a couple other DJs that I got to be honest with you, I didn't know who the fuck they were. But I do like to dance, Coop. Don't let this big frame kid you. So I had a good time. And anytime you could bring the New Year in with your close friends, I'm very blessed, and I'm looking forward to the second half of hockey here and getting into it with you.
What's your go-to dance move, Obes?
I keep it pretty simple, but I can get nice and low and move the hips side to side, but I keep it pretty simple. I don't do anything too crazy, and it's all about the rhythm, Coop. If you got the rhythm, you can dance to anything, buddy.
Well, my kid is learning how to dance, finally. He's really into the movie Cars, and he dances to Life is a Highway. It's funny. You play the original Life is a Highway. He has no idea what it is, but you play Rascal Flatts, and he's all about it. So, one thing we discovered over this holiday season is his nice. Love of that movie. It's insane. So, probably similar to Porter's love of many random cartoons and other things of that nature. So, anyway, I know that we could talk about our holiday season pretty much for the next hour, but there is hockey to get to, and... because these teams are not good at all, I don't really want to focus on the minutia this podcast. I kind of want to focus on the big picture. And by the big picture, I mean the bold predictions for 2020. Dun, dun, dun. So we'll start with the Anaheim Ducks. Obi, give me your first big, bold prediction for the Anaheim Ducks.
You know what, Coop? I don't know if I have a big, bold prediction, but... you know, I bumped into Casa yesterday at dinner, actually, at a restaurant in Newport Beach.
Wow.
And, his English has come a long way. I was very proud of him with that. When I first started playing with him in San Diego, he couldn't speak a lick English. So, and I was just talking to him, and what I told him is how I feel. I feel like, you know, the Ducks are in pretty good shape. You know, obviously they're not where they want to be in the standings, but their young kids have played a lot of hockey. They've been put in a lot of situations. They played power play. They played penalty kill. They've been up and down the lineup. They're learning what it takes to play in the National Hockey League day in and day out. And then you got your leaders like Getzlaf and Silverberg, Raquel, and then Manson coming back, and Gibby and Ned. And, you know, I think the Ducks are on the right train. I give Bob Murray a hard time a lot of times, and there's some stuff I like about Bob and some stuff I fucking hate about Bob. But you got to give him credit. He's, you know, he got rid of a great guy in Corey Perry, but he made that hard decision and freed up some cap space and some space for his young kids. And, you know, there's still going to be some learning curves along the way here, and they're going to take their lumps, but... all in all, I think they're heading in the right direction, and You know, we'll see what they do with Silverberg at the deadline and guys like that. But I think the Ducks are, their young kids just got to keep improving. And if I'm anything with the Ducks management, coaches, Dally, whatever, just to keep these young guys improving, get them better every day. And that should be the only goal moving forward.
Here is my first bold prediction for the Ducks. They will not make one significant trade this year at the deadline. Like, none of the big guys who we always talk about getting traded. You just mentioned Silverberg, who I think, I don't see why you don't trade him this year. And it has nothing to do with Silverberg's, like, with any negatives about his game. It's just the positives, excuse me, and his contract. I don't see how you don't. But, and also the other thing too is his contract is already ready made. GMs hate creating or making contracts or coming to terms on contracts. The Ducks have already signed this guy. He's got tons of term. He's an all-star. But I don't think they trade him. And I don't really see any major trades, because you mentioned Bob Murray. There's one thing he's not going to do. He's just not going to blow it all up. He wants to field somewhat of a competitive team. That's kind of his MO.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know what, Coop? I believe that the Ducks don't have to make a deal. I don't think they're in a position where they got to, you know, cut a ton of payroll and get these big, you know, contracts off their, you know, off the cap space or whatever you want to call it. I feel like they're in pretty good shape. They knew it was a rebuild. They brought in Dallas Eakins, who, you know, we both love. And you know, I was talking to Cass yesterday at dinner a little bit before I sat down, and I asked him how Dally was doing, and he said great. He said the same guy, and, you know, easy to talk to, and the players love playing for him. So I think they got the right guy behind the bench, and some young pieces are coming, and they just got to be patient here. And I don't think Bob Murray's in the position where he has to make a deal. If something comes across his table where he can get a first-round or second-round pick for one of these guys maybe, then maybe you pull the trigger. If not, you just stay the course.
I only mentioned Silverberg because I think this is really the best time to trade him. But it all depends on how far the team thinks they are away, which is, are they 1 year away? Are they going to be competitive next year? Are they two when Silverberg's going to be 31 and maybe won't be on a 30-goal pace? I don't know. I mean, that's why I throw that name out there, is because he's got a really good deal. He's a guy who has been to a conference finals twice. And again, if you're a GM, you don't have to sign him to a contract extension. It's there, it's made, and he's, you know, ready to rock. So that was my thought process on that, which maybe kind of brings me to, how far away do you think this team is, Obes? I mean, like you said, you like how they're looking. Do you think they could be competitive next year?
You know what? I think they're, you know, I kind of compare them to, I've watched the Vancouver Canucks go through the rebuild here with, you know, as you know, Coop, I do a weekly radio show with Sportsnet and played 2 years in Vancouver and good buddies with Travis Green. And, you know, when Greener took over, it was pretty bad there. And, you know, they're kind of in the same place where the Ducks are right now. And it's taken Vancouver 2 or 3 years to get there. And I'm not saying the Ducks are as far behind, you know, the eight ball or whatever as the Canucks were, because the Canucks were at rock bottom, where I think the Ducks have some good pieces and they've had some success lately. And now it's just a rebuild. So to answer your questions, I think they're probably 2 or 3 years away from being a playoff team. But in this new NHL, and there's so much parity, you never know. They could maybe do it next year.
My next bold prediction. Ryan Getzlaff will score over 20 goals.
The Getz man. How many has he got right now? I've been kind of on a holiday bender here, Coop. How many goals has he got right now?
Right now, he is currently at 10, which puts him right on pace.
Ooh, he's right on
pace. For 20. Yeah, he's right there.
I'm going to text him after the podcast and said, Coop predicts you score 20, so shoot the fucking puck, Getzy. Shoot the puck. I agree with you. I say Getzy gets over 20 if he stays healthy. And also, if he plays down the stretch, you know, and don't get me wrong, Getzy's a competitor. He loves to play the game. He loves to compete. He loves being in the dressing room. But, you know, if there's 10 games left and you know, they're out of the playoffs and, you know, they're playing in Winnipeg, I don't know the schedule, but if they're playing some places on the road where these young guys want to play, and, you know, Dally says to Getzy, hey, why don't you stay home with the family for these 2 days and kind of recover. So I don't know if he'll play all the games down the stretch. I'm sure he'd like to, but that could be a factor if he gets 20 or not.
You know, he hasn't scored 20-plus goals since 2014-15. It's been a while.
I did not know that until I read your sick little rundowns you do for us every week. That's
surprising. Yeah, man, you know how good they are.
Yeah, they're top net, they're top level rundowns. But, well, honestly, Coop, that was surprising to me. And, you know, listen, we all know Getzy's a disher. I mean, you know, the way he can pass the puck, and you know, he's almost like, I don't know if this is a good comparison, but he's almost like LeBron in the way that he enjoys passing the puck more than he does shooting it. Like, he'd rather set somebody up with a sick dish and see the celebration on that guy's face and the joy in that guy scoring a goal more than he likes scoring a goal, because we all know he has a world-class shot. But he's a true disher, and he loves to dish the puck.
He and Jumbo Joe Thornton are, like, pretty similar in that. I mean, like, different types of games, but love to pass the puck. And it's funny because they both are guys with amazing shots. I think Jumbo had, like, 36 or 37 goals. He had a lot of goals 1 year. And then just suddenly he went to San Jose and just started passing. and he hasn't stopped passing since. But I think Getzlaf will hit 20 because what other options do they have right now? And he knows he has to shoot the puck more. And that's not disrespect to the other guys on the team, even though it may sound like it. But he just knows they don't have that natural finisher like a lot of other teams do. And he, you know, to his credit, has taken it on himself to shoot the puck more and kind of get into better spots. So I unless Daniel Sprong, who had a goal and assist in the Ducks' last game, turns into that guy, which I don't think he will. I mean, he could probably finish a few more goals than some other guys would, but I think Getzlaf knows he has to shoot the puck more, and he's going to score more goals because of it.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about this early in the season when we were looking at their lineup, and, you know, no more Corey Perry and no more Ryan Kessler, and you know, the list goes on. And you know, when Getzy looks on his wing and he's playing with two young kids now, and no disrespect to whoever it would be, it's been, you know, kind of a revolving door playing on Getzy's line this year. I think Daly's just trying to give every kid an opportunity to play with them. And, you know, if Getzy looks over there and it's not Corey Perry anymore, he's going to, you know, maybe shoot the puck a little bit more. And I think that's just kind of what's been going on here. And like we've talked about before, Coop, he has an unbelievable shot, and he's using it a lot more this year.
Bold prediction number 3. Can I do the dun-dun-dun, or are you done with that?
It's your call. I mean, you come this far, why not? Keep it going.
Dun-dun-dun! The Ducks will get the number 1 pick in the draft. Why do I think this? I don't know.
This is a bold prediction. You have obviously not watched Detroit Red Wings play a whole lot, have you? Because they are terrible.
But that's not how you get the number 1 pick, by being the worst in the lottery.
That's true. Okay, my bad. You're right. There's a chance the old ping pong ball might go their way. So you're saying they're gonna get the bounce in the lottery is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I don't know why I feel that way. And maybe it just has to go with, like, secondary teams in the market getting the number 1 pick in recent years, with New Jersey getting the number 1 pick twice. I don't know, maybe Arizona will like somehow lose out of the playoffs and they'll get the number 1 pick because Taylor Hall just somehow has that bizarro magic. So
he does.
So he's a pending UFA. So I mean, you may not even count him, but I don't know. Like okay. So here's the thing: if they get the number 1 pick in the draft, right? All that talk I just had about how many years away they are, it goes to shit. 100%, because all of a sudden, man, you're way closer to being good. I mean, like, you're not there. I mean, New Jersey this year, clearly with Jack Hughes, hasn't been very good. And, Buffalo Sabres. I'm sorry, what?
No, keep going. Go keep going.
I was going to say the Buffalo Sabres, since they got the number 2 pick in 2015, haven't been very good. They haven't made the playoffs. Edmonton made the playoffs once since they got Connor McDavid. So it's not a cure-all for anything, but certainly does help. And then you destroy my thoughts on trading Jakob Silverberg, and your rebuild suddenly goes into hyperdrive. So
yeah, and that is a bold prediction. I agree with what you're saying, but with all those teams you just mentioned, the culture there was, you know, it was so messed up there that even when McDavid went in, they made the playoffs in 1 year, but the Edmonton Oilers culture was a mess, and they bring in Kenny Holland and Dave Tippett to kind of, you know, secures it. The thing with the Ducks, if they are lucky enough to get the number 1 pick, which would be that Canadian kid, the French kid, what's his name? Coop, help me out with it.
Lafreniere.
I just watched him play in the World Juniors. This kid is the real deal. He hunts pucks down. He can shoot. He plays with a little bit of an edge. He's the real deal. So if that actually happens, Coop, and your prediction comes true, and the Ducks get this kid at number 1, I assume they would take him, and you bring him into a culture with Ryan Getzlaf, a Stanley Cup champ, and, you know, Bob Murray's been around a long time. Dallas Eakin's a great guy. There's guys, Raquel Silverberg, guys that have played in the playoffs a long time, been to conference finals. You know, now your rebuild, like you said, it takes a super upcharge because there's people in that dressing room that know how to win and will teach this kid how to win right away.
And let's not forget, too, they've got Trevor Zegras in the system, who had 9 primary assists in the World Juniors. And I sent you a few videos, Obi, like, what'd you think of those? this guy's sick. I mean,
the whole, when I watch Team USA play in general, he's sick. Their whole team, the skill on Team USA from, you know, their first line all the way down to their, you know, whatever forward, they have so much skill. And that kid was one of the kids that right away, once you sent me that stuff, I watched him play more and more. Super talented guy. The whole American team, they may have been the most on paper skilled team, or not even on paper, team that I watched have the most skill. Obviously, Canada was the most complete team, I thought, and they ended up winning the gold medal because of it. But this kid is nasty. His unbelievable skill, tons of upside, and the whole Team USA was super skilled.
And the thing, too, I mean, about him, he started out the tournament not playing very high up, and then just suddenly, I mean, he just sort of played his way into a bigger role and then just took it over. Like, he is the guy when you think of Team USA in that tournament. It's Trevor Zegras, and it's funny, you mentioned how much Ryan Getzlaf loves assists. This guy had a quote to our Scott Wheeler, basically said, assists are the best thing in the world. And I can name many things in life that are better than assists, but at the same, joking aside, I mean, he's an unreal playmaker and clearly the heir apparent to Ryan Getzlaf there.
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, like you said, his spinorama pass, I mean, I think like the week before the World Juniors started, Austin Matthews had that sick spinorama pass to Mitch Marner across the box, and then this kid had a couple spinorama passes in the World Championships that were just unbelievable. And, you know, every time I watch this tournament, you know, each year, obviously I feel a little bit older. The kids look younger and younger, but the skill seems to be better and better every year. I don't know what they're doing. Obviously, they're working on it day in and day out, but, you know, good for him. I think he started on the fourth line when I watched the first game against Canada. I believe he's on the fourth line, and it just goes to show you work hard and make the right plays and have that much skill that the coach has no choice but to move you up the lineup, and it looks like the Ducks got a good one.
You know what's interesting is, like, I talk about this all the time in regards to if I applied to Vanderbilt, which is where I went to college, now I probably wouldn't get in. When you look at the speed and the skill in the NHL, what do you think what your career would look like in today's day and age? Because I watch guys and I'm like, holy shit, like, they're just unreal how much more skill they have now than they used to. It's wild.
Yeah. I would have been in some trouble. I probably would have been working at General Motors in Oshawa, Ontario. That's where I'd probably be with this, the new way this game plays. It's so fast and so skilled. And obviously, as a big defenseman nowadays, there's not too many of us left. But you know, there's certain things I love about the new game, and as you know, Coop, there's some certain things I, you know, hate about the new game. But you can't argue the skill of these young kids. They're unbelievable. And like I said, each World Juniors, you know, each year it just seems like fuck, they get more and more skill, and they're doing even more, you know, ridiculous things with the puck. And granted, it's still junior hockey. When you get to the NHL, it's a lot different. Time and space is a lot, you know, goes away a lot quicker. But very impressive. And it looks like the Ducks got a good one.
Well, the future is bright in hockey. So lots of very exciting, talented players coming up. We move onwards to the Kings because we have a special guest. I forgot to mention at the top of the podcast, Cal Peterson, is the Ontario Reigns starting goaltender and maybe Kings goalie of the future. I wrote about that last year, but we're going to lead on into him with the Kings. So here is my, well, first off, Obi, I'll ask you for your bold Kings prediction, then I'll give you my bold Kings prediction.
Okay, go ahead. I don't have many bold predictions like you. I got to give you credit. You got some good bold predictions, buddy.
You don't have any spicy hot takes?
I mean, my bold prediction is that Jeff Carter will be traded at the deadline to the Pittsburgh Penguins. You heard it here first.
He's not going to retire.
He's not going to retire because he's going to go to Pittsburgh and play on the same line as Sid and go try to win one more Stanley Cup. So my big bold prediction is Jeff Carter will be traded at the deadline.
Man, but here's the thing, though. Like, Sid can only work with, like, third-line grinders. Like, has Jeff become one this year?
No, you can never call Jeff Carter a third-line grinder. But I mean, I was never the player Jeff Carter is. But you got to think if, you know, they played on Team Canada together, they played in the Olympics together, if it ends up happening and my prediction comes true that he goes and plays in Pittsburgh on the line with Sidney Crosby, that will give you a little jolt of energy. That will make you, you know, want to play a little bit harder. It'll give you a little bit more, you know, pep in your step, whatever you want to call it. And I know he has a Stanley Cup or two Stanley Cups, whatever it is, but if you have a chance to win one more and play with a legend like Sidney Crosby, I think that would get anyone fired up.
Well, this will fly in the face of one of my predictions, and we'll get to that in a second. So we'll start out with my first bold prediction. which is absent of a major earth-shattering trade, which is what you've predicted, a major earth-shattering trade, the Kings will play over 500 in the second half of the season. I think they will, because they've been way better than their record indicates, in my opinion. Like, they truly have. And to me, it's blown my mind that they have as many losses, because analytically speaking, I mean, we even had a story on this from Jordan Samuels Thomas, International Man of Mystery, recently, that they are better than their record indicates, that all their analytics are good, and you watch them play, they actually do play well, they just never seem to win because they don't have the personnel. So what are your thoughts on this? Over 500 rest of the way?
Yeah, I agree with that, and you know, we've been watching them, you know, obviously for the whole first half here, and you know, I think we've said that most of your coop, that you know, they've been playing better than they are in the standings, but you know, their penalty kill has been so bad, or so bad at the start of the season, that was costing them hockey games. You know, their power play wasn't perfect. I thought their 5-on-5 game for the majority of the season was pretty good, and they were just finding ways to lose hockey games. But you know, I think they've played better than their standings or their record indicates, and I got no problem with agreeing with you. They'll play over 500 hockey, and I hope they do play over 500 hockey, because it'll be good for us, it'll be good for LA, it'll be good for our podcast, and I think they can do it.
And you've seen some improvements from some guys too. I mean, like Adrian Kempe, who really had a very, very, very rough start. 8 points in his last 12 games. Some guys have found their footing. I mean, there's some signs for hope with this team, I think. Sean Walker's been a nice find. Blake Lizotte's been a nice find. The big boys are playing well. Kopitar's been great. Doughty's been great. I mean, they've been good. They just, again, are not winning. And you know, I don't know why, but, well, I mean, maybe it's just a personnel thing, who knows, but they're just not winning. And then again, I think they will the second half of the season, because as Rob Blake says, drive home the system. They're driving home that system, and you can tell the guys are having fun and I mean, you can tell me if I'm wrong, Obi, but I feel like having fun and enjoying coming to the rink every day really does buy you at least 3 to 4 wins, if not more, right?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I've always been a big believer in, you know, if your dressing room is going and you got some good mojo in there and guys are enjoying coming to the rink and having fun, enjoying it, it's going to help you. It's only going to make you play better. If you come to the rink miserable and no one's talking to each other and everyone's hanging their heads and it's just like a, you know, a morgue in your dressing room, it's going to rub off on the ice. It's not going to help your game. And when it comes to why they haven't been winning games, because it's hard to win games in the NHL Coupe, especially when you're putting young guys into the lineup. And Kempe was one of those guys at the start of the year that I had highlighted that if the Kings were going to maybe, you know, push for a playoff spot or be better than, you know, people are predicting, that he was going to have to be one of the guys that took that next, you know, jump in his career to be in, maybe not a superstar, but being a really, really, really good NHLer. And, you know, like you said, he got off to a horrendous start. And, you know, I think he was, did he even get scratched one game, didn't he? He was in the press box,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So like, you know, he was going through a tough stretch, and he's one of the guys that I believe that if he plays up to his ability, that, you know, this rebuild for the Kings will go a lot smoother.
Yeah, and he really has been. I think that's been an incredibly promising sign for them moving forward. So here is my bold prediction that flies in the face of your Jeff Carter bold prediction. So last year, we basically said the team would trade everyone when everything was going to hell. And they ended up trading Jake Muzzin, Carl Hagelin, and Nate Thompson. Those were the three big moves. Now, granted, they didn't have the same number of expiring contracts that they have this year with like Tyler Toffoli, Trevor Lewis, Derek Forbert, Kyle Clifford. But I don't know. I just feel like Rob Blake is very methodical. I think Toffoli's definitely gone. I think Forbert probably for sure. Clifford, I don't know how that's going to play out, but he certainly has shown he's got some value. But I don't think everyone's going to get traded like I thought they were last year. And generally, the way these things go, and I threw cold water on this with the Ducks earlier, it just always ends up being less than what you think. However, you think Kartz is gone.
I mean, I don't. I was just a bold prediction, to be honest with you.
It is bold. It was spicy.
It was bold. I'm trying to spice it up a bit for you here. You know, it's harder to make trades in the NHL now than it was years ago, obviously, with the salary cap and all that nonsense. It's hard to make just hockey trades, so that makes it harder for these GMs come trade deadline time. But I think Toffoli's 100% gone. I definitely think teams will be calling about Kyle Clifford and Trevor Lewis. They're both great playoff guys. We both love Cliffy. I played against him a long time. He's a good, honest, physical guy that will just about fight anyone. Louis is a great penalty killer, works hard every night. So those are two guys I think teams will be calling for. Does Blakey want to move him? Only Blakey knows that, but I think Toffoli's gone for sure. And I think he would like to move Jess Carter if he could, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely see. And again, part of this, again, just has to do with the fact that they have more guys with playoff experience who are tradable this year than past years. So we'll see what happens. But I do think that you'll see some movement for sure. But I don't think it's to the level that fans on Twitter, and they are always the most rational fans out there, for sure. That's a joke. Think is going to happen.
Did you see what moving off topic here about Twitter? I don't know if you saw this, but the Vegas Golden Knights, they had like a father's trip, so they got like Ryan Reeves and his dad and these guys, Shea Theodore and his dad, to read off like these mean tweets.
Oh God!
It was actually pretty funny to see this dad reading a mean tweet by some fucking idiot out there, you know, about Shea Theodore, Ryan Reeves. So check it out on Twitter. It's a pretty good laugh.
There are just some days where I have to just completely kill my Twitter timeline. I just can't pay attention to anything that's going on. And actually, like, I have had to tone it down a lot on Twitter, just because if you have a hot take and you throw it out there, and then your mentions get just demolished, and it puts you in bad headspace. And let's just face it, we don't like that. That's not a good thing. Last bold prediction. And I had this on The Athletic. I'm still holding out hope that Andrei Kopitar will hit 80 points. He's currently on pace for 71. I don't know. he is, I mean, I look, like, with all due respect to his wingers, he is the alpha on that line. He is the straw that stirs the drink. He's an unbelievable player. He's not getting a lot of finish from guys he's playing with, though. Toffoli, since he's been on that line, has been pretty good. I still think he hits 80 because he's been incredible, but I don't know. That's a lot of points for the rest of the year. And I also had a dream last night, and I have weird dreams, Obi, that he would be a Selke Trophy finalist. I don't know why I thought that, but I did.
Well, he's pretty good. He's pretty good defensively, so that's not a crazy dream. I hope he gets over 80 points, just because, you know, I don't know him that well. I met him a couple of times through Stoli, Babe, and Richardson, and Doughty, and the boys, but. Playing against him and still watching him play today, he does everything the right way. Just seems like a good leader, great guy, plays hard. So I hope he gets over 80 points. I'm pulling for him.
By the way, I saw your boy Stoli Baby at the game on Saturday, and I went, "Fella!" And he just kind of smiled at me.
Did he give you a fella back or no?
He was getting ready to go down to make some broadcast magic. So not so much.
But. Yeah, you gotta earn the fella thing, Coops. You can't just dive right in, buddy. You gotta earn it. So
maybe
he's making you earn it a little bit more. I'm not sure.
I said it to him in a joking way, though.
I'm just joking.
I wasn't like, you know, "Hi, we're best friends," you know, like you are with him, you know, fella. It was more like, "Hey, I'm gonna say this because we said it on a podcast once." But
yeah, I'm sure you got a laugh out of it.
Oh yeah, for sure. So. Well, that concludes the predictions part of the podcast. On the line with us is Ontario Reign goaltender and a guy who was a big free agent signing for the Kings a few years ago, played some games last year, really impressed a lot of people. Also, AHL All-Star this year, Cal Peterson. Cal, thanks for joining the podcast. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
No problem. So I think my co-host Shane O'Brien has a few questions for you because he is like a mega fan of Notre Dame and really, okay. really, really wanted to ask you these questions.
Yeah. Well, that's what's awesome. Up, Cal? How you doing? How you doing, buddy? Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. No. Thanks. Thanks again for having me.
Congrats on the All-Star game. Where is the All-Star game in the American League this year?
It's actually in Ontario, so. Don't have to go too far.
Oh, nice. So you don't have to like fly to Utica or Binghamton or something crappy like that. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, I know. Usually it's not in the best city, but lucked out this time, I guess.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Yeah, I'm a huge Notre Dame fan, obviously with the last name O'Brien, and I've never been to the campus. I've never been to a Notre Dame football game, so I was just curious, you know, A, what's it like playing hockey there, and B, just, you know, the everyday life of being on campus at Notre Dame and hitting up football games and all that fun stuff.
I mean, it's awesome, and I mean, I can't really say enough good things about Notre Dame. I mean, I you know, just from kind of being part of, you know, the culture there, and, you know, it's so historic and there's so much tradition. It's just right aligned with everything I wanted in a school. And, you know, pairing the, obviously the hockey part is awesome and amazing, and, you know, get treated amazing there, but, you know, also kind of having the academic side too, it, you know, makes you a pretty well-rounded guy, I think, coming out of there. So I was, you know, I couldn't be happier with my decision to go there.
Okay, cool. And then obviously my second question is, do you got some hookups for football tickets or what? Can you hook us up here, buddy? Or what's going on with the football tickets? You know, come on.
Yeah. You just let me know. There's usually not a lot of people trying to get those tickets, so I'm sure they have them laying around.
All right. Sounds good, buddy.
You may snap my head off at this, but do you think Rudy's a good movie? Like, both of you. Like, I think it's a bad movie, actually, but it's like a lovably bad movie.
Whoa. I think Rudy's a great movie, but I mean, maybe I'm biased because I'm a diehard Fighting Irish fan, but what do you think, Cal? You went there? You think it's a good flick or what, buddy?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they, if you hook your TV up to the cable there at school, there's one channel that plays it on 24/7, so I've definitely
get the fuck out
there.
For real.
Yeah. It's just one channel that just plays Rudy nonstop.
that's like a Yule log around Christmas time.
I know. You wouldn't expect it. So if you're, you know, hungover after a football game or something like that, you just turn that on and live the glory days, I guess.
That's awesome.
Did you ever have to watch that before games to like pump yourself up?
No, but I mean, he hangs around the campus, obviously, you know, all the time. He's gotten his full money's worth with that, but he, you know, will pop in every now and again, and, you know, on like a random Tuesday before practice, and, you know, want to give the boys a speech or something. So he's never too far.
Yeah. So obviously you're out here in LA, you're from Iowa. What's the transition been like just being a kid from Iowa living in the South Bay right now? Cause that's where the Reign setup is, right? Your practice is out there, even though you play in Ontario.
Yeah. I live out in Manhattan Beach, so it's not a bad setup, but it's a little bit of a change. You know, you don't really realize how big of a city it is until you get out here and you know, kind of have to deal with it every day. And then, you know, obviously we drive to Ontario for games, so you get, you know, you're driving through the city the whole entire time for an hour and a half. So it's kind of, you realize how many people are really out here. And that's definitely a big change, you know, just coming from a town in Iowa.
Yeah. Cal, you know, as an ex-player, you know, NHL in the American League, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, obviously the difference is the skill. But as a goaltender, you know, what's the hardest thing? Obviously the guys in the NHL, you know, they have better shots, they can pick the corners better, but what's the hardest thing between the American League to the NHL, or what do you find the biggest difference in playing in one league to the other?
You know, it's, I mean, I think, you know, people just don't, you know, normally understand just how good of players are in the A. So, I mean, it's a transition. It's obviously a jump. You know, there's guys that, you know, can hit spots a little bit better, but, you know, it's a little bit more structured. You know, in the NHL, kind of more than the A, there's, you know, sometimes in the A it can get a little chaotic, and I think it's a little bit more predictable in the A, or in the NHL you just have guys that, you know, can finish those a little bit better. But I mean, it wasn't a crazy transition. It's more so just kind of, you know, realizing that you can play at that level, and you know, the same things that work in the AHL, you know, that make you successful, or, you know, you're able to bring them up to the NHL and, you know, kind of do your thing up there. So there's a little bit of a change, but, I mean, I'm sure, as you know, it's, you know, usually the things that make you successful down in the A, you know, translate pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. And the paychecks are a little bit on the NHL too, aren't they?
Yeah, your eyes light up a little bit more when you open up that pay stub.
Those every 2 weeks that NHL pay stub comes, you're like, what? They're paying me this to play hockey? This is awesome.
Yeah, that's rent for the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what was that like when you first saw your NHL pay stub? Was it like, oh, shit, like, this is awesome? I mean, like, I feel like we always gloss over that when a guy gets called up from the AHL.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely nice. I mean, I'm a big shoe guy, you know, I like clothes and stuff, so I kind of translate it over. You know, you're rookie and you're getting $5,000 a day and you're like, holy shit, I can buy some pretty nasty shoes with this. So that's kind of how I looked at it. Bought a couple of things that I wanted and then stuck it around.
Wait, what shoes did you buy?
I think I got a couple pair of those Common Projects, which I've definitely got my money's worth. Yeah,
I got a couple pairs of those too. Those are nasty. Yeah. You gotta look good, yeah. Play look good, play good, right, Cal? Look good, play good, buddy. You gotta be looking sharp.
You gotta spend your money on something that doesn't do much just sitting in the account.
I agree, buddy.
Well, Obi says that those shoes, they look so tight, but when you break them in, they feel amazing. Is this true?
Oh yeah, yeah. They give you some mean blisters the first week or so, but they're an absolute staple. So I'll probably have to refresh them here pretty soon. Hopefully get a call up, then I can do that.
Well, what was it like when you signed your contract and knowing that, you know, this is a game that you've loved for so long and obviously you have a lot of confidence. You played in the NHL last year. You put up tremendous numbers in the league last year, but then you get that contract, that 3-year sort of security. I mean, did you go out and buy anything? Or, I mean, like, what was the reaction to that? Because, I mean, again, it's, you know, you are human, and that's a fair chunk of change. You're making $200K this year in the AHL. If you get called up, you make more in the NHL.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was really cool, and obviously, you know, very humbling, too, at the same time. I mean, realizing that, you know, I guess as cliche as it is, but, you know, the hard work kind of pays off a little bit, and it was just a little bit relieving too, to kind of get it, you know, out and know that, you know, these guys want to commit to you for 3 years. And, so that part of it was just really nice. And, you know, obviously just so fortunate to have found, you know, kind of a good spot here and, you know, hopefully be here for my whole career. 'Cause you know, I love it. So it was really nice. It's a nice, like, little stepping stone. You know, now it's just proven, you know, that money's going to a good thing.
Yeah, Cal, let me, you know, as a player and as an ex-player, and, you know, obviously you know you can play in the NHL and you see what's going on in LA with the rebuild and, you know, you're down the minors. Just give me your mental approach day in and day out numerically, because I know it's not easy when you know you're an NHL player and you're down there in the American League having to battle every night. And just talk to me about your mentality and how you're staying positive and you know, kind of your short-term goals right now, because you know you can play in the NHL.
I think the main thing is, you know, you're a phone call away from the NHL, and I think, you know, being prepared for that phone call. So, you know, when it comes, you know, it's the last call up that you're going to get, you know, because you're going to be an everyday NHLer. So it's tough. But I mean, I just, you know, realize that you kind of have to battle, you know, every day. You have to put yourself in the right spot, because you just never know when that next call is going to be. And you know, you're also just playing as hard as you can for the team that you have too. And it's more fun, you know, if you're down when you're winning. So it's better just to make the most out of it. And then, you know, the better you play, the more chance you're going to have of getting a call up. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but, you know, I've definitely appreciated my time in the AHL so far.
That's awesome, buddy. That's a perfect mentality and good for you. And that's all you can do, buddy. So good for you.
Cal, yeah, just thanks. a couple more questions. To us as media, Jonathan Quick is a man of very few words. I don't think that's the case with you all as players. Give us your coolest Jonathan Quick story that you can tell on this podcast.
Coolest Jonathan Quick story. That's a tough one. He's a
pretty quiet guy, eh, Cal?
He's such a good guy. Yeah, I mean, I think he's a little bit more quiet, maybe to the media guys than he is, you know, when he's in the locker room or whatever. But I don't know. It's just, it's funny. Like, you know, I came when I was down, I think, you know, we played a game and had a day off. So, you know, obviously guys had some fun and, you know, we had a practice the next day and I don't think his knees touched the ice the whole entire skate. And I was like, man, if I can just get to that level where my give a shit level is that low in the NHL, then I think I've made it.
I have two quick questions coming from China. I think you know who this is coming from. Your old goalie coach, Dusty Emu. He wants me to ask you how many hats you own.
How many hats I own?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the hat and the shoe thing kind of correlate. I probably have just as many hats as shoes, and I have a lot of shoes. So it takes up a whole shelf in my room. So it's, I don't know. I have shorter hair now, so I don't really need to wear a hat every day. But when I had long hair, I think I wore one every day for probably 4 years. So it's just like clothes, and you know, you got to keep them fresh.
And he told me to bring up how much your old skates sucked.
Yeah, I used to wear Grafts. I think I was the only guy in still playing hockey that wore Grafts. So I finally switched out of those, and you know, they weighed about 25 pounds each. So I think he was happy to see me have a little bit better style, but he helped me with that transition a little bit and gave me enough chirps that I was just kind of tired of it after a while.
And speaking of chirps, if you got chirped at all for the article I wrote about you last year with the headline, I apologize. But I hope it did you justice as far as how good a goaltender you are.
Well, no, I appreciate it. I'll take that any day.
Yeah, where we basically said you might be the goalie of the future for the Kings. So, but it was basically saying how good a goalie you are. So we truly believe in the talent you have, and you know, that's why I wrote the story. But I didn't know if you got chirped behind the scenes for that.
No, thankfully I didn't. But I thought it was nice, and family got to read it and stuff like that. So it's nice to get some recognition. So, you know, I always appreciate that.
Well, that's what we're here for. So, but thanks so much for coming on, Cal. Really appreciate it. And best of luck rest of the way. Maybe we'll see you up in LA this year.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on, and yeah, I hope to see you soon.
And maybe Obes can give you some shoe buying tips.
Yeah, no, thanks, Colin. I appreciate you coming on, buddy. Stay healthy and keep it going, buddy. You got a bright future, and keep those common projects looking sick, fella.
You got it. Will do. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Later, man.
Well, Lobes, that was good. I didn't know that you and Cal would bond so much over shoes.
Yeah.
That was amazing. That made my day, actually. That made me very, very happy hearing that.
Yeah, well, he's already got the NHL style locked down. I mean, anytime you're rocking common projects. I mean, I get a deal through a good friend of mine, Bex. She works for Evolve, so I get him for a discounted price. So I don't know if he's playing full pop for him or not, but let's just say they don't give those away. But he seems like a really cool kid. I loved his answer about, you know, his day-to-day mentality in the American League, because, you know, as an ex-player and a guy who, you know, spent 3 full years in the minors, you know, halfway through my third year down there, it was tough every day to come to the rink when, you know, I believed in my mind and in my heart that I was an NHL player. And you just got to enjoy it. And he has a great mentality, and the Kings obviously got a good one on and off the ice, it seems.
Dude, in 11 games last year, he had a 2.6 goals against average and .924 save percentage for that team. Like, when they were at, like, the lowest of lows. Like, he had better numbers in the NHL and the AHL. Like, he's legit.
Yeah, no, I've seen him play a little bit. I watched him play at the end of last year, the games you're talking about, and he looked really good. So, for me, for goaltenders, it's a mentality for me. I've played with some really good ones that had the right mentality, and obviously I only talked to that kid for 5 minutes, but he seems like he's got his head on straight and has the right attitude, and that's important to be a goalie in the NHL. You got to have your head screwed on right.
And I think you'd appreciate this. His salary this year in the minors is $200K. If he makes it to the NHL, it's $700K.
Wow, $200K in the minors. That's a sick contract. So I'm sure he's buying some dinners on the road for the boys that are making. There's some guys probably making 50 grand, so hopefully he's taking care of the boys on the road.
Yeah, the big thing with him is he's on a 3-year contract, so clearly they have some plans for him, and the last 2 years are one way. And I've always gotten the sense that, you know, we love a lot of the guys that are up in the league right now. Jack Campbell's awesome. Quick seems to have had a really nice rebound year, but just always gotten the sense Cal's their goalie of the future. I don't know why. It just has always seemed that way. And part of it's his mentality. And clearly you heard today just what that mentality is. So
yeah. And by the way, when the Kings give him a contract like that, it makes it a little bit easier to be in the American League. Obviously, he doesn't want to be there. But when you're making $200K in the American League and you know you got a one way for the next 2 years, the writing's on the wall. He's going to get an opportunity. But You know, when you're an elite athlete, you want to be at the highest level. And right now he's not the highest level. And he, I'm sure he wants to be in the NHL more than anything.
It's funny though. You mentioned 200K in the American League, 200K in the American League, living in Manhattan Beach. Yeah, so it's like cool in that you're in Manhattan Beach, but 200K goes way, doesn't not go nearly as far in Manhattan Beach as it does in like Utica.
Syracuse. Yeah, no, I didn't even know they lived in the South Bay until you told me that. I just assumed they lived in Ontario and practiced at the same rink they play in. So besides the drive every day to the game days, that's a pretty good setup for the boys.
No, it's a big thing for them. They want all those guys to be closer to their scouts and their management people. So that's they made a really, really big thing out of that. So that was great. We had Cal on. He was awesome and learning. It was funny because I had heard from people that Rudy from Notre Dame is kind of like one of those guys when he's on campus, really tries to get as much mileage out of being Rudy as humanly possible. I didn't know if it was true. And it's kind of hilarious that Cal confirmed what I had heard many years ago back when I covered college football. So,
yeah, I mean, it was hilarious.
Wouldn't
too.
You?
It was hilarious too when he said there's one channel on the on like the Bush League cable there in South Bend that just plays Rudy all the time. I mean, I thought that was fucking great. That's hilarious. He's like, so if you went to the football game and you're hungover the next day, you just fire that on and watch Rudy, which it's a pretty good hangover movie. If you're hungover, throw Rudy on. It's gonna make you feel better and make you want to practice hard the next day. So maybe they're onto something there.
Or it'll like inspire you. You'll like run out and then you'll just vomit and be like, what the fuck did I just do? Seriously. Like, damn you, Rudy. What the hell? Well, anyway, that was fun. Going over bold predictions, talking to Cal Peterson. Nice way to start 2020. Obes, always a pleasure. And again, agree with you. Hopefully these teams can pull off a few more wins and give us something more to talk about than just trades, because that was pretty much the bulk of our discussion today was trades in the draft. So, and the future with Cal Peterson.
Yeah, it was great. Hopefully we get some more wins here for the Kings and Ducks. And I mean, both teams are going to play hard down the stretch. And as a fan or a management guy, that's all you can ask is that your young guys play hard, your veterans show up every night. And hopefully they win a few more than they lose down the stretch here. But I think the Ducks are in pretty good shape moving forward. And I think Blakey's got his hands full. We'll see how he handles the deadline. But yeah, let's hope for some more wins.
Indeed. All right. Thanks to Cal Peterson. Thanks to Obes. Also, if you want to listen to another interesting podcast, Front and Nationwide with Aaron Porcelain, Allison Lucan, awesome. Columbus Blue Jackets podcast, two of the best reporters that I've met talking Blue Jackets. So that would be a fun podcast for you to listen to. And please don't forget to rate and subscribe Point Breakaway on Apple. If you click the link on the show URL, theathletic.com/pointbreakaway, you'll get 40% off your subscription to The Athletic, and you'll get to hear a bonus subscriber-only edition of Point Breakaway each week, too.